Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Frank Film Club. I'm Maisie Williams and I'm an actor and producer.
I'm Larry Roberts and I'm a producer and filmmaker.
I'm Hannah Marie Williams and I'm a casting director.
And welcome to our club. Welcome back to Frank Film Club. Today is a very exciting day because we are going to be speaking about the greatest love story ever told. My personal favourite film of all time. It's actually not, but I'm going to say it because it's funny. Twilight. We're watching the first movie in the Twilight saga. Well, we've watched it already and we're going to speak about it for you today. And I'm absolutely buzzing. And I hope you are too, because it's going to be a juicy episode. But first, before we get into all of this, how have you both been? What has your week been looking like? What are your stresses? What are your freedoms? How's things?
Things are good. Not that stressed, actually. Just like having a good time. I've just been looking forward to chatting. Just my highlight has been watching Twilight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because how could it not be?
My highlight has been watching Twilight and then spending the rest of the week thinking about Twilight and the youth of yesterday and if they are all right and what I was doing when Twilight came out and was I okay? And just generally just count down the days to talk about this film.
I know, I'm so excited. We've discussed doing this film many times. So I'm going to have to just be honest and say that we're recording this episode last year, and last year is the 15-year anniversary of Twilight coming out. And that was sort of the reason why we finally pulled the trigger and said, like, let's do it. But since this is coming out, strikes, whatever, it's coming out later. So we're not going to make it a 15-year anniversary special. But just know that it's 15 years old. And do you know what? It's aging like a fine wine. Okay, so just a little bit of context. Twilight is based on a saga of books by Stephanie Meyer, or as I like to call her, Mother. the whole series of films has grossed over $5 billion worldwide, which is kind of insane. But the first Twilight movie was released on November 21st, 2008. Best day of my life. And I didn't think that I was going to do a synopsis for this because I felt like everyone's seen this film. But actually, we're in the presence of someone who has watched this movie for the first time just for the podcast episode, which we'll get into later. So myself and Larry have a lot of nostalgia around this film. But for Hannah, she watched it for the first time as an adult woman. And so I just can't wait to hear your thoughts, having not had, you know, the memories of like teenage angst to like go like to sort of fuel you. But anyway, for anyone who hasn't seen Twilight, I will give you a brief synopsis. And this is a hilarious synopsis that I found online. Bella Swan is an average teenage girl who often goes unnoticed. However, her life changes for the better when she meets Edward Cullen, a vampire with dreamy eyes and skin that sparkles in the sunlight.
That is the synopsis
on Google, which is so funny. I found another one which says like 108-year-old vampire, but...
Well, that was the only difference.
Yeah, well, I mean, it didn't say the funny bit about sparkly skin, so I thought, okay, I'm going to say the other one. As I said, it released in 2008 and it grossed $35 million at the box office on its opening day, which is crazy. Whoa. Yeah, yeah. And it has come to gross $3.3 million worldwide. And then the DVD was released on Sorry, is this too much for right now?
No, it's great.
Sorry.
Hannah's just shocked by all the money that it is bringing in.
I think it's because it was already a really successful book.
Okay,
yeah. The book was already big.
I was like, how has this picked up so much momentum in the first day? Everyone was like, quick, go now.
Yeah, the book was popular. The book was real popular. I have never read the book. Have you read the book?
Oh, I've read all the books multiple times.
Oh my gosh. Okay, wow. We have three very varied opinions coming to the table today. This is a juicy, juicy episode. But anyway, the DVD was released in 2009 and it grossed an additional 238 million.
Whoa. The
first hour that it went on to HMV.
That's hotcakes.
Okay, so the movie was written or like adapted by Melissa Rosenberg and it was directed by Catherine Hardwick. It stars Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart and they fell in love for real. Anyway, let's get into it. Lowry, I think that we should start with you.
Yeah.
I want to hear about the first time you ever watched Twilight. Set the scene. How old are you? Where are you? And what did you think then?
I hate to tell you that I can't remember. And I think that's because I've watched it so many times.
Yeah.
That I can't remember when I first saw it. Surely I went to the cinema because I had read the books.
Mm.
But I can't tell you about the first time I watched it. I can tell you that I watched it a million times. And I can tell you that I watched it a million times with a certain set of friends. And it, like, Twilight just really reminds me of my two friends, Hetty and Sophia. And we used to just, like, have a little club where we'd watch Twilight and fangirl about Twilight. Like, it was just, like, that was... I feel like people who watched Twilight back then and loved it, like, that was the vibe. It was just, like, nerdy, weird girls who were weird.
Not all of them.
And
some of them were like really popular and cool.
Who were they? But yeah, it was just like, oh my God, this is the most amazing thing ever. Totally in love with Robert Pattinson. Watched all the special features all the time over and over and over.
His special features. His nose.
Like the bonus bits of a DVD.
Okay.
It was just like a very special time. It was a great, like, kind of depressive time as well. Do you know?
Angsty,
right?
Angsty
is more the word, you know, because it was just Bella Swan. I want to be like Bella Swan, moody and want everyone to like not like you because that was cool. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I watched this for the first time at a sleepover and it was quite long after it had come out in the cinema, but I went to a sleepover with my friend called Jollity Archer and she was there with all of her friends from school.
That's like an incredible name.
What a great name. Yeah.
Wow.
Great.
She's a star. She was part of a gaggle of friends that it sounds like you were in. Yeah. And they were like rewatching Twilight for the 6 billionth time. And they were like, you've never seen it? And I was like, no. And they were like, watch this. And changed my life forever. Truly the best day of my life. And it felt so fun to be part of like a club of young girls that loved something that was, I really did genuinely love. I felt like I was part of just something amazing, honestly. Which is like really sad when you think about it. But like, I felt all of a sudden like there's so many crazes, so many trends, so many things. But this was the first one that I was like, now this is something I can get behind. I was like really, a big, big fan. And I'd never really been a big fan of anything up until that point. So that was our first viewing experiences. Hannah? Take it away.
Okay. First of all, I feel like I've just been transported into a time with both of you being young teenagers. And this is the house that Twilight built right here, apart from me. Because what built me, I don't know. I think it was Donnie Darko was like my comparable film.
That is really cool.
No, but there wasn't a Twilight.
Buffy?
No, I want a Buffy gal. Okay, the first time I watched it was on my laptop. We rented it on my bed of my home as a 34-year-old woman with my boyfriend of 42 years old. And I watched it there and then.
And I bet to this day you've been regretting that you only rented it and didn't buy it.
I did buy it.
You bought it.
Yeah, obviously I've got it on DVD at my parents' house. But then I thought when I came to rent it, I was like, no, I'm going to buy this again.
I knew that it would be a brief encounter with me in the film. But I've not watched anything where there's been such like a fanfare around it and that I never got to it. I don't know why I never watched it. It wasn't like I was protesting. Mm-mm. I wasn't like too cool for it, but because I wasn't cool. Like we were just talking before we started recording. I was watching High School Musical when I was 17. Like it was not that. I just think that it just passed me by. I loved it in a way that was like completely dumbfounded by it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it for what it did.
So I think to kick us off, I want to talk about Edward and Bella and why we think that they just like had us in a chokehold. Maybe it was something to do with the cheekbones. Who knows? Scientists can't figure it out. First and foremost, I think every young girl just all of a sudden fell in love with the idea of being like super mousy and super like quiet and super not like the other girls. Me and Larry talk about this all the time. We look at people saying that now and we think back to when we were at school and we're both the sort of girl that was like not like the other girls.
Yeah.
And is that like pick me girls?
Yeah, we're reformed pick me girls in a way.
Is that the new thing or is that the original?
I feel like pick me girl is like...
They're like, I only hang out with the boys.
Oh, yeah.
Hanging out with the boys is just easier. There's no drama.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do with the fact that you had a massive crush on all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like actually very, very toxic.
Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to be mysterious, but I could never follow through with that because I say everything that's on my mind 24/7.
Yeah.
So were you walking around school like trying to be Bella Swan? Like, paint the picture for me how you were influenced.
Yeah, I like immediately started wearing like knitted tights and like little brogues and like I just went way more mousy. I think like before that I was like trying to be like real cool and then all of a sudden I was like listening to like bands and I was like had my hair in like a really deep side part and was sort of going like this a lot more. Like genuinely.
For you? Like, no, I think I just like the idea of it. And then I'd be like, maybe I took like a book into school and like think like maybe I'm gonna like read this on my own. But like I wouldn't because then I would just be with my friends and chat. And
holding a really heavy book.
carrying my Harry Potter book, carrying Twilight. But I think I did it at home and I would just like be in my bedroom like a loner. Well, which I'm sure like every teenager is just in their bedroom a lot of the time. Well, or maybe they're with their friends. I don't know. Maybe.
You were with your friends. You were with your Twilight friends.
Not after school because we didn't live close to each other. But of an evening, I would just like go to my room and be really moody like every other teenager. Yeah. But I just felt like I was really channeling Bella. And Edward would turn up one day.
And did he? Ron?
Can't really compare him to Edward, can we? Can't compare anyone to Edward.
Oh, you're
not Ron. No, like, all right.
So I think upon reflection, like looking back at this series of films and looking back at Edward as like a character and how awfully he treats Bella and how kind of shit Bella's character is in many ways. Like, it's not really an empowering image for young ladies. I think like whenever we're talking about movies on this podcast, we're like diving into like, you know, character and story development. A film like this would never hold up now and nor should it. But I will still defend it until the day I die because of that nostalgia. But I think the most amazing thing about this film for me when I was a teenager is that a lot of love stories that I had seen up until that point was like a guy being super bashful around a girl and then like asking her out and then like being so nervous and so shy and like, what if she doesn't think I'm cool? And I remember thinking, where are all the guys like that? I feel like all the boys in my school are just mean to me. And they're like, where are the guys that are like, I hope that she like once says yes when I ask her to prom. Didn't no one ask me to prom, like ever. And so there's a really poignant part at the beginning of the movie when Edward dashes across the parking lot and stops the van from hitting the red van, from hitting Bella. And then after, in the aftermath, Bella confronts him about it and is like, you move in mysterious ways, young man. And he just like fully gaslights her and is like, what do you think you saw, kind of thing. And I remember at the ripe age of like 12, sitting in that living room that night and thinking, that's real. I can imagine a boy at my school saying that. Like, this is the coolest, realest male character I've ever seen in my life.
Because he's just like a gaslighter.
Because he's just a neggy prick.
And the fact that in your young teenage mind, you were inspired by that.
Fully.
But that was a like, real love story.
It was a real love story to me because I was like, I can imagine this happening. Someone being really into you. Are you thinking that someone's into you because they keep being around you? And then like something happens and you talk to them about it and then they're all like, you're fucking crazy. I remember thinking, that's real. That's love.
Wow.
How fucked up is that?
This is very interesting because I feel like out of all of my circle of friends and women that I've ever spoken to about their first relationships, they're all very toxic and traumatic. And it's like a rite of passage for I'm going to say a woman, but it's only because I have those conversations with women. For anybody, maybe, to have a toxic relationship as their first relationship. I definitely did for my first relationship. So as a young person, you thought that this is a really true depiction of what it's like to chase someone or like someone.
Mm-hmm. Is it because the young men see things like this and become like that? Or is it because the young men are like that and so you're drawn to stories like that? Is that what you're saying? No.
Sort of.
Because I just don't know. I don't know what it is about, like, I don't know, young guys and acting that way. I don't know where they get it from.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they sure as hell aren't, like, no young man was like, Edward Cullen is my guy.
No.
Like, no one, like...
But even both cared. Ways, though, girls will want a problematic relationship, which is, like, full of passion and, like... Mm. Confusing obstacles and stuff like that. Like, I wanted that when I was younger. I wanted to like have this like really passionate like love affair with somebody and not be treated very nicely.
Weird. True. Like normal, hopefully.
Yeah, I think like most people do feel that when they're younger because you just want that. It's just fun. You don't not really thinking about your well-being. Back then, just going for the loss.
The journey is like as much part of it as, you know, I feel like now I'm like working on a relationship as like a destination. But then I was just like, who knows who is going to be texting me in 3 weeks' time. But right now I'm having my heart crushed to a million pieces by George from maths class. I don't know what it is about young boys and young girls and having traumatic relationships, but this film definitely saw the gap in the market and said, let's do it.
Because she literally gives up, or she wants to give up, everything that she has ever known and had and like everything ever for this guy.
Yeah.
And we watched that and went, oh my God, amazing.
Yeah.
And that's so bad. Rewatching it after having loved it for so many years was funny for that reason, because I was like, because I still horribly like loved it all for all the same reasons as I used to, but I was like, oh my God, it's so bad that I love it for all these parts, because it's just so it's not a great message.
One thing that I think still holds strong to this day is the soundtrack. Do you find it memorable?
I know the songs, but yeah, not nostalgic, obviously, for Twilight, obviously, but yeah, I like the soundtrack.
I think the soundtrack was always good and it still is. And those songs still grace my Spotify playlists.
Yeah. I think the soundtrack and the colours of the whole thing as well. Like it's all bluey and gorgeous. Because the other films, it all gets a bit more like red.
It does. Really?
Yeah. But I love the look of the first Twilight film. I love the moodiness and the blues. Ooh. And obviously the soundtrack as well. But yeah, I think just like as a standalone film, in those senses, I think it's really cool.
It's gorgeous. It really is. And I have to tell you, Hannah, that this is the best film of the whole franchise.
By a lot.
By a mile.
But why did you continue then?
Because we were in and you like, there's hope. There's always hope that it might get better, but it was like something that you just like should let go. You should let go of it.
Yeah.
And you can't. And it just kept going. And then it finished and you were like, why? Why did I give so much of my life to that?
With the rewatches, you know, where you would get together with the girls or whatever and just keep rewatching this film, what was it about it that made you carry on watching it? And at some point, you would have watched it for the last time. And can you remember just being like, I'm starting to get a bit bored of this? Because there's only a few things that I would rewatch.
I rewatched the whole franchise about 2 months ago. And before that, I watched the whole franchise about 5 months before that. I can't stop watching it. I can't.
That's quite mad, the whole franchise, because I think the last few I've only watched once each.
Yeah. Number one never lets me down.
Yeah.
But after one, I think I've got to see... Bella, where the hell you been, Loka? And I'm just like, okay, here we go. Number two, let's go. And then once you've got to two, I'm like, I've got to see the last one. But you've just got to go through two shite movies to get
like,
to the last one.
It's such a phenomenon that I just cannot wrap my head around.
Yeah,
it's so interesting to me because yes, it's very blue, but like I don't find it beautiful though. I actually, it reminds me a little bit of. Sorry to say it, but it reminds me a little bit of, you know what we do in the shadows with the effects, where they're like holding them up on string and then like puppets?
Okay, yeah.
The effects are kind of like that to me. Like, I just think it's because I don't have anything to compare it to. There was no comparable film for me that did this thing that happens.
So there are a lot of things that even the book readers were like, why did they do it like that? I don't think that the first movie was like a super duper smash hit, even by people who loved the story, because there's so many things that are so much easier to describe in a book than to depict on screen, i.e. running really, really fast with someone on your back. It's just, it is, even when I first watched it, I was like, that looks shit. And even now I still think the same, but it just hold tight, spider monkey. It's just iconic. And then he just runs up the hill with her on his back. Like, it just, it doesn't really make sense. And it is a bit cringe, but like, if he did that to me, I would be like, wow, I'm going to marry this man. I don't know what it is.
You know how, I don't know if you're about to go into this, but you know how Robert Pattinson and Kristen Stewart, well, I don't know if this is known, but they now just like, when they were doing press on it, I think it basically came, like, people realised that they really weren't fans of the film. Mm-hmm. Do you know anything about, like, why they came onto it then? Or, like, what? I don't know much about that at all.
Well, Kristen Stewart had worked with Catherine Hardwicke before, so I imagine that's sort of how that came about. However, there were other actors considered for Bella, namely Lily Collins. Oh, my God, she missed out again.
No way.
Oh, no, wait. What was the last one we were talking about?
She's going to be Polly Pocket.
Oh, she's going to be Polly Pocket.
Yeah.
Lily Collins was also sort of considered for it, but it ended up going to Kristen Stewart. And then Robert Pattinson has never been a fan of this, never really wanted to be in it, but he only auditioned because he knew that Kristen Stewart was attached and he thought that she was like a really sick actor. And I think what actually gets you through these movies is their chemistry.
Totally.
Their chemistry is unmatched and it's so magnetic and it's electric and it is in the first film and it is in the last film. And I think that's really what keeps you there, because at the end of the day, like, that's just what you always come back for. And so I think I mean, in terms of their love-hate relationship with it, I think they just started to grow as actors and started to sort of branch out and do lots of other projects. And I think coming back, as the story gets really absurd, Hannah. It gets really absurd.
Yeah.
I want to just give me like a highlight reel or like a run through of where the characters go. Do they stay together?
They stay together.
Not at first.
Oh, they don't.
He tries to break up with her. She goes depressed for a whole film.
And tries to like drive. Whenever she puts herself in danger, Edward always comes back, even in like little visions. So you know how in the first movie, the car, like he comes speeding in his car, and it's like, you couldn't hear what those low lives were thinking about you. And she's like, and you can? I could do the whole film, but I'll save it. in the second movie, she starts doing really risky things, putting her life in danger because he's broken up with her and gone away. And whenever she does that, he comes back in these like little visions. So this girl is like driving off of cliffs. She nearly tries to kill herself.
Yeah, and she gets
to make him come back
to help fix up this bike so that she can go out on the bike. But then Jacob starts to fall in love with her, and then that's a whole storyline. And then there's like that's when Team Jacob and Team Edward became a thing. Which one were you?
I used to say that I was Team Jacob because I wanted to be not like the other girls. Fucking, like, I hate myself. But I was always Team Edward. And I still am.
And what were you?
I was just always Team Edward, and I still am.
I would be Team Edward just purely based off the fact of Jacob made me cringe. Like, this whole film was obviously quite cringe for me to watch at this age, but he was the standout cringe for the whole film.
He gets more cringe and just more clingy. And I was just like, oh.
Yeah. He starts acting really out of line. Because in the second movie, everyone loves him. And then by the third movie, they were like, we're going to have to make him a bit more annoying because people aren't liking Edward enough. And so then they made him so annoying. And then everyone loved Edward again. Mm. Really just play him with you. Poor Jacob. Yeah. Honestly. Written into filth.
But then in the end, Edward and Bella have a child. So they have sex. Then she has to get turned into a vampire so that she can safely give birth to vampire child.
Because the vampire child is like it's like so powerful inside her.
So then they're like, okay, you need to give birth and we need to make you a vampire at the same time. And then she has baby and Jacob falls in love with a baby.
Sorry.
He just imprints on the baby.
Which means that he will like dedicate his life to her and eventually will be the lover, which is weird. Why does this keep on? Yeah, it's weird.
The baby is called Renesmee, which is a blend of their two mothers' names. And there's this really funny line where Jacob says, I imprinted on Nessie. And then Bella goes, you nicknamed my daughter after the Loch Ness Monster! Like, dead serious. Like, fully serious.
Like, I think that was in the book as well.
So it's really... it's poetry.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This film, despite how bonkers it is very popular, especially amongst our audience. And we have a lot of really funny hot takes that our listeners have sent in. Shall I read some of these out?
Yeah, please. Would love to know.
I saw the first Twilight film in the cinema when I was 14 and was trying very hard to be emo in rural Ireland. Same.
That's the thing. It was like really like try hard to do.
However, when it came out, it was instantly deemed as being the most uncool thing ever. It felt like you had to like it in secret out of fear of social ostracization. I think we've collectively forgotten how much people absolutely hated Twilight when it first came out. Being a teen girl in a new internet age was strange. Everyone hated what teenage girls loved. High School Musical, Justin Bieber, and then in turn, Twilight. Almost as if it was uncool to even be a girl in the 2000s. I'm not wrong. Long before the Twilight Renaissance, I began embracing the Twilight films again when I was at uni studying film. It felt like a wee rebellion against the art house film boys in my year group. It was a comfort to openly embrace a franchise marketed towards teenage girls, especially as film marketed towards women has often been seen as a lower form of cinema, romance, and fantasy especially. It's not perfect, but the soundtracks sure are. And that comes from Niamh McDonough.
That is so funny. Like, I completely on board with that. I feel like that, yeah, there was a lot of hate. Like, it was a bit shameful to be a Twilight fan.
Even at the time?
A little bit. Like, I think, yeah, you didn't, like, go around saying you love Twilight. Mm. Even if you do, apart from the girls that you watch it with, or the people that you watch it with.
Yeah, if you were being ignored by boys before, sure as hell weren't going to be telling them that you're watching Twilight.
But that was so funny. I feel like there was like one crowd which would watch High School Musical and love Justin Bieber, and then the other crowd would like Twilight. That was like a, I feel, was, am I right to say that?
I don't know, because I love Twilight and High School Musical, but then again, I'm not really like the other girls.
In fact, so, there's no one like me.
No, it's so true.
Nothing compares. Well, maybe I'm wrong.
Hannah, what was your favourite scene? If you had to pick one.
Oh, absolutely. No doubt in my mind, it would be the baseball scene.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
The muse is playing.
The angles.
Yeah.
Like, just everything about it. The caps that don't fit them properly.
Yeah.
The way that she pitches with her leg.
Oh my God, love.
And when Edward Cullen laughs after bumping into his brother midair.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't really laugh the whole time. He didn't really smile. And then he laughed and I was like...
That's so funny, because that did not resonate with me at all. I do not remember that moment. Like, there's so much going on, Lowry, and that's the moment you pick up on.
I mean, this is obsessed. I know. This is the issue. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Johnny Andrews says, that baseball scene, cinema, cinema, cinema. Twilight is such a great series, and had it come out in a world that didn't hate teenagers, specifically teenage girls, there wouldn't be so much hate around it. It gave us Dilf Charlie, Mama Anna Kendrick, who we love to hate, Daddy Rob Pat, and of course our queer queen, Kristen Stewart. I don't know what it is about Twilight that resonates so hard with the girls and gays, and it may have something to do with the hottest cast on earth. Of course, it's not French 1920s silent film that film bros will tell you about, but you cannot deny that the hatred for it is societal and not about the actual film. Anyway, it's a lot of fun and gets too much hate. I'm happy to see the resurgence and romanticization of the gorge blue filter.
Yes, to the blue filter.
I'm glad that these things are all coming up, the things that we've spoken about. Fun fact number one, Robert Pattinson is on the Twilight soundtrack a lot. Did you know that?
Yes, no.
When she's dying, when she's
like... Do the impression.
Wait, of the song or of her?
Both.
And on the song, he goes... It's like really like...
I will hold you in my arms.
Yeah.
That's him.
And it's his... Yeah.
Is he a singer?
Well, he was back then. I don't know.
Wow.
I know. And he also played Bella's Lullaby on the actual soundtrack, on the piano.
Doom, 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 doom. Not that one.
Do, do, ding, do, do,
do. Oh, I love that song so much. Oh, no. Dun, 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 dun.
Wow.
That's potentially one of my favourite songs ever.
Ever?
It just like really takes me back to a time.
It does like, hit. Well, yeah. We have Robert Pattinson to thank for that. What an icon.
Yeah, I didn't know that he played that mad.
I don't know if you noticed, but when we're introduced to all of the vampires in the cafeteria, Emmett is holding a bag of eggs, like a Ziploc bag of eggs, which is ridiculous because vampires don't eat. But the fact that he's got a bag of eggs is really funny because vampires don't eat, so he wouldn't know what a normal meal looks like. However, the reason why he's holding that is because
that's Kellan not a normal Lutz, meal.
No,
just to say.
But Kellan Lutz, who is the actor who played Emmett, was like bulking like crazy for the role. And he walked onto set one day with an actual clear bag of eggs. And Catherine Hardwick said that it was the most ridiculous thing that she had ever seen. And she was laughing so hard that she was like, okay, Emmett has to carry in those eggs like for the scene, because it makes so much sense that a vampire would fake a lunch like that. Even though Kellan was actually just eating loads of eggs to bulk up for the role.
That's brilliant.
So funny.
Yeah,
it's funny. That.
This reminds me of a question that was glaring me in the face when I was watching the film. Mm-hmm. If they're 100 years old, why are they going to school?
Because they died when they were young. And the younger that they start out in a place, the longer they can stay there. So if they pretend that they're like freshmen in high school, then they can like get away with being there for like more years until people start to realize that they're not aging.
So they're doing it as like a veneer, like they're trying to trick people into, I'm just a normal teenager.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right.
It's unclear whether or not vampires have reflections throughout the entire Twilight saga, because in this film, when they're in the ballet studio at the end, when Edward's pushed up against the wall, against the mirror, he has a reflection. But then in the next film, he like looks at, you haven't seen it, but in the next film, it opens with Bella's dream and yeah. Edward is like in the field of flowers with no reflection. Could be a movie mistake.
Continuity
error. Stephanie Meyer, author of the books, makes a cameo in Twilight. Do you know where?
Yeah. But do you want to guess? Or no, I don't know why you would guess.
In the first one?
Yeah.
No, I am.
She's at the, she's at like the restaurant where they're getting a cobbler.
Is she the waitress?
No, she's just sat at, she's like, I think she was actually finished like working on one of the books like whilst they were shooting. So she's there like on her laptop. Nice. And I think she was doing one of the books.
Yeah, lovely.
Mm-hmm. The idea for Twilight came to Stephanie Meyer in a dream, and she actually knows the exact date that she had it, which was June 2nd, 2003.
Wow.
She had a dream. She had dreamt about a girl and a vampire laying in a meadow talking, and then that exact scene comes up many times in the books and the films. And you have all of that to look forward to.
What else has she written?
Didn't she do The Host?
Oh, yes, she did.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, another series of books that were made into films that were nowhere near as successful.
Yeah.
Vampires' eyes reveal their diets. Hannah, did you pick up on that at all?
His eyes were orange.
And
but
sometimes...
what were they at the start?
Yeah, do you remember at the start when she walks into the science block and he goes...
Oh, yeah,
lol. Because she stinks.
She reeks.
No, I can't remember.
His eyes are like super dark black at that point. And that means that they're hungry. They're super hungry. When their eyes are like black out, they haven't eaten... When their eyes are amber, like you remember, it means they've eaten, but it means that they've eaten animal blood and not human blood. They're sufficed and they're like glowing orange, but they're not like... And then you remember the vampires that come in the baseball scene? Mm. Their eyes are red, and that's because they're full, but they're full on...
blood.
Human blood.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. Crazy, crazy. Blood. Okay, a little pop quiz coming up for you guys. Who were the three boys who asked Bella to spring dance? A, Jacob, Mike and Eric. B, Mike, Tyler and Eric. C, Edward, James and Mike. Or D, Edward, Emmett and Tyler?
Mike, Eric and Edward?
No. It was Mike, Tyler and Eric.
No way. So, So Tyler's the one who nearly goes into her in the van.
Yeah.
Does he ask her as well?
I think so. I can't remember now.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah.
I'm not even a fan.
Not even a real fan. Where did Bella first see... This is one for Hannah. Mm. Where did Bella first see Edward Cullen? Is it A, the cafeteria, B, in math class, or C, in biology, or D, the parking lot?
It is in the cafeteria.
Correct.
I'm and, a twihard.
And what does she say when she sees him?
Who's that?
Who are they?
Who are they?
I think, I don't know.
That's the Collins. But I think she does, because she's like telling her all about the Collins, and then at the end she's like, who's that?
Who's that? Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's Edward. Totally single, but not like anyone here is good enough. Anyway. What does Charlie put in Bella's bag before prom? Is it A, a new phone, B, $20, C, a pocket knife, or D, pepper spray?
Pepper spray.
Yes. Here we go. You'll get this one. What sport do the Cullens play? Is it A, football, B, softball, C, baseball, or D, rugby?
Baseball.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
Where did... Final question. Where did Bella live before Forks, Washington? Was it A, Albuquerque, New Mexico, B, San Diego, California, C, El Paso, Texas, or D, Phoenix, Arizona?
It's Phoenix, Arizona.
Yes! Yes!
Yes!
Oh.
Incredible work. Okay, full marks all round for the Twilight quiz. Congratulations. You are Twihards too. You are now a Twihard.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's wrap things up and fill in with any final thoughts. Actually, I guess one question I do have for you both. Can you guess how much, what the budget was for this film?
I don't know how much budgets would have been around this time. I have no idea. I'm going to guess. Five.
We'll go for 10.
It was $37 million to make.
37 million?
Yep.
This was, wow.
It was a big one. They pulled out all the stops. The book did well.
Yeah.
I'm sure it would have been a big option for the book. Mm.
God, that's mad. Well, it's not, maybe it's not that mad.
Yeah. And then, as I said earlier.
That's really interesting.
Because it is a franchise. It was maybe, it was bound to be big.
Like, what else had Robert Pattinson and... What was the biggest thing that Kristen Stewart and Robert Pattinson had done at the time?
But that's what I'm trying to work out, because I don't think the budget is in the cast, right? There's no one in there that was particularly big at the time.
No, that's true. I mean, I feel like there's a lot of effects that they had to do really well.
Yeah.
But in terms of what Kristen Stewart... I mean, I saw her in Panic Room before this.
Yeah.
But I think this was like a really breakout role for her, mm-hmm. like leading a franchise like this. And it was in the vein of Harry Potter. You know, I think everyone was like looking for what the next series of books was going to be to like really capture the YA audience. And it happened to be the greatest love story of all time.
Mm, it did.
Featuring, I mean, Ron Weasley and Edward Cullen are like the part of the same... makeup, genetic makeup.
And I love both of them.
Sorry, is Ron Weasley a heartthrob for people who like Harry Potter?
I think yes. Him. Yeah. And he's also like really neggy and mean.
Ah, really? Mm. Okay, interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
Wow.
And all the girls are like, I love him.
Do you know who I realised on this rewatch that I actually really fancy? Bella's dad, Charlie.
Well, that means
you're
old.
A big Charlie fan.
Yeah.
Older.
He's so cool. Love him. He's such a cool character in this.
Yeah.
Great guy.
I feel like I'm always beefing with Charlie, and I know it's like completely uncalled for, but I'm just like...
Oh.
Yeah. Not a fan of Charlie. Never really have been. Don't know why. I think I just love Edward.
So. Team Edward.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Well... Some final thoughts from our audience. Sydney Bauer says, it showed that teenage love can have high stakes, and that's so validating for an age that is typically looked at as very naive. I'm also very critical of Twilight because the relationship is very toxic, and that makes the conversation around it so much richer.
You know what? I love that so much. And maybe that is what everybody wanted it so much, is because it's such a serious relationship. And I think at that age, you want to be taken seriously. And that's like the point the whole way through. It's like, no, it's so serious.
The stakes are super high. It's life and death. And like, do you choose him or not? That's how love feels when you're 15.
Yeah, that is the thing that we were trying to talk about earlier.
Like, it's not just like a little teeny fancy.
It's not puppy
love. It's like, no, this is deep. I will die for you.
I know what love is, mum. You don't. You don't even love dad.
Exactly. Yeah. that's why people love it.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know who said that, but they just absolutely nailed it.
Sydney Bauer.
Sydney Bauer.
Yeah, you really know what's up. Incredible. Thank you, everyone, for writing in. And thank you, Stephanie Meyer, for this incredible story, and Catherine Hardwick for bringing it to the big screen. We are forever changed and will forever be grateful. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. We hope that you enjoyed it. Please write to us on Instagram, on our email. We're at Frank Film Club or filmclub@rap.world. Tune in next week for another juicy, juicy episode. But for now, ha, 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 ha.
Thanks so much for watching. Next week, we're going to be back and we are watching Poor Things by Yorgos Lanthimos. So give it a watch. I think it should be available on Disney Plus. At the moment, it's in cinemas when we're recording. But yeah, it should be there now. So go and have a watch and meet us back here next week. And thanks so much for listening.
If you'd like to see more videos like this, then please give us a like and subscribe, because it really helps our channel more than you could know. And get in touch with us in the comment section. Tell us if you liked the film, if you didn't like it, we'd love to know.
This podcast was presented by Wrapped.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.